I didn't get to hear you last week, Mike, because Josh's back was hurting him and we went home. But I want to tell you something. I've had something exciting and adventurous happen since I've heard the music this morning.
Amen.
All right. First of all, that song, He's an Awesome God. I have to tell you this. This building has nothing to do with awesome, but this building has everything to do with it because he's the occupier of it. And in Psalm 150, verse 6, Oscar was quoting it, but it says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Everything. That means that if you can breathe deep, praise the Lord. If you have trouble breathing, praise the Lord. Everything that hath breath. So I got that this morning sitting here. Okay? The other thing I got was when Oscar was speaking about the soil and the rough and on the rocks and everything. You got to realize the part of that that we have is just a plant. We plant, we water, but he gives the increase. You got to realize everything that we've ever increased has come from God. I mean, just think of how exciting it can be to realize you're not the increase, but you realize he's the one that increased it. I mean, when you go from a job making $1.60, I'm going way back, to double that, to the next time double that, so pretty soon you're up to 20, 30 bucks. I never reached 30. Well, anyway, but that's the truth. All the increase, and I tell people this, and all the layoffs was of God. You got to quit looking like if it's bad, it's bad. That ain't how God looks at things. He said they might have meant it for evil. But listen to that. That evil I meant for good. Now, I know that's about Joseph, but that's about you. You never had anything that you thought, oh, my goodness, how can you let this happen? God's in charge. He's in charge. Okay, I told Margaret, I'm not sure if I'm going to say this right. I told Margaret what my subject today is about judgment. What is it for? Now, Mark, I think it was three weeks ago you spoke, and you said we all need rescuing or something like that. And that got to me. And I'm going to actually tell you exactly how I received the message that day. Hopefully I can do this right. War, what is it good for? Absolutely nothing. And that's what was going on with me out there. There's a battle. I don't know if you'll confess it or not. There's a battle going on in here all the time. And it's right between my ears most of the time. But I want to tell you something. Judgment is good for something. Now, I'm going to tell you what it's good for. As soon as I get the years right. I'll be 70 next month. So, 70. 52 years ago this year, I was sitting in the front row of the choir at youth camp. And by the way, you want people to think you're a born-again Christian? Know all the songs. I was singing, woo-wee. Not as good as you guys, but I was singing. But anyway, this guy named Sonny Cuesta, that's all you need to know about Sonny Cuesta. Okay? You don't need to know a lot about me. But I'll tell you what, I know and I know and I know what he preached on that day. That's the nail. And that's the hammer. And you're putting the nails. And you are the hammer that's nailing him to the cross. That got personal with me. You know what? Because I envisioned it. I was sitting on the front row, and he's telling us how these nails are going in Christ's hand, how he's dying for you, how he's getting nailed to a cross for you. The Holy Spirit grabbed a hold of me. It didn't take long for that guy to say, and tonight the Lord has told me the front row. You know how Euchard always says, hey, I got the front row. I'm in the front row. Well, I want to tell you something. I was in the front row of the choir on purpose because that became the altar. God's got a plan for us. Whether it be a long walk or a short walk, he's got a plan for you. Oscar, I don't know how many times I've heard him say it because I believe what he says. He says, you know what's wrong with the people? They just don't believe the word. God is the word. Jesus Christ is the living word. The Holy Spirit in you lets you know that. You ever had trouble walking something out? You don't do that with the Holy Spirit. You yield to it and you go, whoa, who's that walking? Because you know what? He never walked that way before. When you walk obedience to the Holy Spirit, here's a new word for a lot of it. It's called conviction. People want to know how I pray. I say, I pray that we be convicted by the Holy Spirit who resides right here. Because it's right here he wants your attention. He don't want it out there. And by the way, while I'm at it, he don't want you to be distracted by anything that's happening on this earth or in this earth. I'm not kidding you. He don't want you to be. What he wants you to do is, who do you trust? Who do you trust? Do you trust him every day? My Bible teaches me that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Every day with Jesus is better than the day before. I'm going to say something that my wife has been saying to our son since he's been home for 2 weeks. Are you happy to be home? And he goes, yeah. And she says, well, won't you tell your face that? Are you happy to hear the truth? Won't you tell your face that? You know what the truth did? The truth set us all free. You're not bound up with anything. If the truth dwells within you, you're free. Whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. Is that right? Or am I dreaming that? I got all this on tape, by the way. It's a manifestation that he wants to change us to. He don't want us walking in, yeah, I believe it. He wants us to walk like I'll walk it out for you. I heard one this morning. You guys are telling little stories. I heard one this morning. It was about the guy that put the rope over, Niagara Falls. Put the rope over Niagara Falls. And he walked over it, and they were amazed. And then he ran over it, and they were amazed. Then he put blindfolds on it and walked it, and they were amazed. Then he pushed a wheelbarrow over it, and they were amazed. He said, and all, what are people doing when they see that? They're believing because they see it. They're the Thomas that we all are that we don't like to admit. I won't believe it unless I see it. That's who we are. My goodness, I'm the only one admitting sin here. But that's all right. God knows it's true. You know God knows you better than anybody else, better than your wife, better than your husband, better than your children. Do you know that? There you go. Now, I got you all believing all this wheelbarrow stuff and all this other stuff. So the guy comes to the end of Niagara Falls and looks out and says, okay, and they're all cheering for him and everything. He said, you guys really like that, huh? How many believe I can take a man, put him in this wheelchair, and take him right across there? This one guy stood up. I do. He said, get in the wheelbarrow. He backed up a whole lot then. See, when you got to put it, Oscar used to say, when you got to put the rubber to the metal or the metal to the rubber, when you want it to move, you got to kind of jump in and join it. When you believe something, you can't be one that's on the outside going, yeah, I believe that. You got to be in the front row. Now, that was about that, but I'm talking about being born again, the Holy Ghost being in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You've heard of that? Well, anyway, I asked Oscar this morning because I couldn't find it, and I want to give credit that the body supplies, okay? We have a body here that believes in the body ministry. Okay, in the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives early in the morning. He came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst. Now, the Lord showed me this very morning. We participate in this more than you realize. In this scripture. First of all, we're all caught in our sin. Ain't got a lot of waivers out there. Anyway, we're all caught in our sin. We're all sinners. saved by grace. Okay. And they said, and they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Uh-oh, I just brought a fourth one. We are also the voice of the accuser. We talk a lot about that. Well, anyway. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what saith thou? Have you ever known the law to be changed? I got something to tell you. I really got excited about this. Jesus told me that they didn't realize not only the law was standing in them, standing in front of them, but the one of the greatest things they ever would get to know was standing in front of them. You know, it says truth and grace come by Jesus Christ. We need to grab hold of that. Truth and grace. It says, what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that he might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he had heard them not. How many believes the scripture when the scripture says he only did what he seen the Father do? He only said what he seen the Father do. I tell you this day that I believe he seen the Father stooping down on the ground. I believe that. He seen the Father stooping down on the ground. So when they continue asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. I'll stop right there. Now, I know I'm taking leave or issue of saying the Bible teaches this, nobody knew what he wrote on the ground. But I'm going to step into the Holy Spirit and tell you this. I believe he wrote on the ground. I agree with you. That's what it says. I agree with you. Okay? But he's about ready to set somebody free here. And it said, and then again he stepped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it. Yeah, there you go. Heard it. What he wrote on the ground. Heard what he wrote on the ground. Being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one. And it said, beginning with the elders. But I'm telling you, a new thing was added to that law that day. He scratched out the stone, and I believe he wrote down mercy. None of us ever got stoned for our sins, but all of us received mercy. I mean, I know I'm stepping on the word a little bit. Don't get mad at me for saying that, but I believe with my whole heart, he had to write down something that they heard that they would react to. Because I want to tell you, everyone in here, if you know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, has reacted to mercy. Mercy that wasn't intended for your neighbor, even though they might have got some of it. It was intended directly at you. It was to come into your heart. It was to come into you where it would change you. And the change in you was the desire for you to change. It was no longer it's about me. But, oh, it's about the Christ in me. It's the Christ in you. When you look out, and you can see the finger and you say, hey, I received mercy by that hand, by those nails. They brought mercy to me. And that was a judgment God always intended for you to be restored to him. And it's still intended today for that. That you would know that judgment of God is mercy upon people. And we're the people that didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. But he gave it away to us anyway. He wanted us to rejoice in mercy. Now, that thing of he went down one by one, beginning with the elders, that taught me something. You know, there's a lot of people want to be top senior dog. All right? They want to be senior. And they want to be it because it's not only a title, but it's an entitlement to be senior. But I want to tell you something. This, when they left one by one, beginning with the elders, was a lesson for all of us to learn. Follow those that are broken first. Those that the word moves on first. You won't be misled. You'll be led on the straight and narrow. Well, anyway, it says, and the woman standing in the midst, when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw that none but the woman, he said unto her, woman, where art thou accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." I'm going to stop right there with that scripture because, you know, I believe God will reveal what he's trying to teach us in more than one place. In 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, the third verse, it says, "And for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God." The Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tablets of the heart. Brother Eddie used to say about God's word was like an explosive dynamite. Everyone in here knows what dynamite does to stone? Makes it sand. Enough of it makes it sand. He makes it dust. We need this day in the year 2021 to look to Jesus, know that he is in total control. Yes. Nothing has gone past him that he hasn't said, "I'm giving the increase." And you know what? I always like to say this. There's a lot of things that with God, we don't get a vote. Because how would you like to know, not only doesn't your vote matter, but it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about him. He's got a greater plan. And his plan, I've heard Mike say it so many times, his plan is to prosper you. But it's more than that. I believe his plan is, if this is the place, now I'm talking to my audience that's on the radio right now. If you were planted in Wings Christian Fellowship or Wings of Deliverance Temple or Elmwood Tabernacle, I want to tell you something in public over this air right now. First of all, you will never ever hear me say when you walk through the door, "Where have you been?" I'm talking about spirit here, mercy here. But you will hear me with a loud voice say, "Welcome home." We have to be a people that embrace the presence of God with other people that are the presence of God. He dwells in many bodies. Just in case you want to know, we have a lot of seats here for you. The parking lot's big enough to hold you. And I said all that to say this. The only judgment you will receive here is mercy. I'm allowed to say that because it's the truth. We're not bringing you here so we can choke you. Even though when I've seen some people, they'll almost choke you. But we are bringing you here to welcome you home. I told a friend of mine years ago, he was thinking about leaving. Matter of fact, he did. And the Lord told me, he said, "You tell them this. If you're leaving because of circumstances beyond your control," like a lot of people think our own emotions are beyond our control, but that's not true. But we're yielding to them nevertheless. If that's the reason you're leaving, you're going to have a hard time being planted anywhere. You know, that growth period. But if you're planted by the Holy Spirit and they move you and it moves you somewhere else, God's going to bless you tremendous. See, that's the difference. That's a big difference. Being planted where God has led you to and growing and multiplying and just you getting up walking away. So I want to tell you something. That's the only time I'll ever say that. Mark the date and the time. It says that I don't know that time's right. Is it 5 after 12 or something like that? And this date, which is February the 7th, 2021, from now on, it's nothing but welcome. I remember when Jim and Marge used to go to Florida and he'd come home and the first thing I'd say, "Welcome home." You know what? They knew it wasn't a lie. I meant it. I was sincere. I still am sincere. But I want the dynamite of the Holy Spirit in my brothers and sisters so you can be exactly what he wants you to be. I heard one time Joey's brother Josh went and said he went to Florida with the Hamlins, yeah. And I think the Hamlins or something, somebody got in an argument. And they looked over at Josh because he wasn't saying nothing, wasn't laughing, wasn't saying nothing. They go like this, "Well, what are you here for?" And he said, "I'm just here to be a blessing." You know what? So are we. We're not a blessing, we're not going to be here. We're here to be a blessing. Amen? One more thing about Brother Eddie. He used to sing a song, and I loved it. I don't know all the words. Thank you. He said, "Let me see the hand of God in everything." And I believe we are. When you look to God, when I see him face to face, there's so many songs. We didn't sing the song this morning, but I remember first learning Jesus loves me. Oh, that's a little kid song. I was a little kid when I learned it. I'm not sure if Helen Wiles or Ina McInnes is the one that taught me. You just took Ina McInnes' place by the cards. She'd send birthday cards, whatever, all the time when I was a kid growing up. And then we sang Deep and Wide and Running Over. I know those are all children's songs. I can think of them. And I'm not crying because I'm sad that I'm not a little kid no more. But the little kid in me still is alive. I mean, you can't see him maybe, but he is. And then there were songs I used to speak all the time, and one of the greatest songs I ever had played before I get up and speak was The Love of God. The Gaithers, I think. And then I like the one, I Can Only Imagine. And who's that by? Mercy Me. That's, God's got a sense of humor. I got to get that. And then I was reading one the other day about, I should have brought it with me. But there's songs that God means to lead his people with. You know what? I'm going to tell you, I believe that the people that led God, the musicians that led God's presence, that led to God's people, weren't people not necessarily afraid of the opposition, but they reverenced God so much they didn't notice it. When we reverence God so much, we'll hardly notice anything else. I mean, he'll let you drive a car, he'll let you teach school, he'll let you do this, do that. But I tell you what, when we get in a reverence of God, it's a holy, holy place. And we're going to be in a place, watch this, we're going to be in a place that he doesn't say, "Yeah, I'm not going to let anything take out of you. I'm not going to let anything pluck out of my hand. There ain't nobody going to steal from me. They're mine, and I'm keeping them." Amen? So get excited. Go tell everybody. Jesus Christ, not only born, but he's coming again. And he comes every time we see somebody getting born again. Every time. So I'll conclude by this saying this. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, this is on tape so they couldn't hear you. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Amen. There you go. Lord, we thank you for this day, for this night. We thank you most of all for what your word declares. And what it declares, we can not only share, but we can become. Father, you said it, you meant it. And therefore, Lord, we can walk in it. Let our vision be of oneness. I like that up there where it said one accord. When we're one accord, it's hard to come against one accord. And Father, we come in your name. We come in your presence. And Father, I brought to mind right now, I pray for all the dry bones that's ever been in this congregation. I pray for people in Florida. I'm thinking of Jim Pike's wife, Lois. And I'm thinking of Marilyn Sanders, Delton Sanders' wife, her back, Lord. I'm thinking, Lord, who you laid upon my heart, you've already started to touch. Matter of fact, you always said the answer's on its way. And the rest of that is this I know. The Bible said it, and I believe it makes it so. Lord, have your way here this morning. May we, Lord, think of everything as a privilege to serve the living God. In Jesus' name we pray. And they all said, amen. Amen. If you want prayer, you can come forward. If not, you guys have a great day. Remember, today's your day, and that makes it a super day. Oscar, you want to say something?